Begin the current daf Masechet Baba Kama daf Lamed Vav. Begin on the second line down for the top of the Amud. But the Gemara continues explaining the Mishnah of the previous daf. That is, the Mishnah said regarding the halacha of mamonis, of monetary law, which is called Hamitzim Mechaver Olav Araya. Regarding if someone wants to extract money from somebody, the proof, the onus is on him. Now, so therefore, regarding the halachas we're discussing here in this Masechet, spoke about, let's say an ox was running after another ox. And then we find that ox that was chased is injured. So he says, it was your ox that did it. The only ox says, no, your ox got injured by itself, by scraping itself on the rock. So the halacha is a mitzvah mechaber olav araya. He can't collect until he brings proof. So to regarding, let's say, when there's two oxen chasing after one ox, and it gets damaged. So one owner of the ox says to the other one, it was yours. And he says, no, it was yours that damaged. So therefore, the nizik can't collect from any of them because he doesn't know which one of the two oxen had harmed his ox. Now, but then the Mishnah continued and said, but let's say Hayushneim Shal Ish Echa, that was only if there was two oxen were owned by two different people. Each one could say, how do you know it's my ox that damaged your ox? Maybe it was the other one. But if both of them were owned by one person, then says the Mishnah Shneim Chayavim. Then both oxen are liable because either way it's owned by one individual. And okay, we don't know which ox was it that did the damage, but either way, it's by the same person, therefore he's gonna be liable to pay for the liability of Chatzi Nezik for the damages. Now, on that, the Gemara asks, Amalei Ravam in Parzika L'Ravashi says, Shema Minah, it would seem to infer from the wording of the Mishnah, which says, Shneim Chayav, that they're both liable, even though seemingly it was only one of the two oxen that did it, that Shvarim Tamim Sheheziku, that when you have a case like that was discussed in our Mishnah, when you have two oxen that it's not normal for them to gore, they're Tamim, they didn't do it three times yet. That Ratzamizegaiva, if you want, you could collect from this one. If you want, you could collect from this one. In other words, if let's say one of the two oxen end up getting lost, so then the other one takes the place of that first one, and you could collect from that one. Now, essentially, what Rav from Parziki is asking Ravashi is, why should that be? In other words, when we're talking about a shur tam could only be collected migufai, from the body of the ox. So, okay, so you're not sure which one it is. Either way you owe, fine. But if one of them gets lost, then why could you collect from the other one? Maybe it was that one that was the one that gored, and the other one not. So how can you collect from that one? The wording of the Mishnah seems to indicate that you could, because it says Shneim Chayavim, they're both liable. What do you mean both liable? Yes, they're owned by the same person, so either way he's going to have to pay, but that's only if they're both around. If one of them gets lost, so then maybe that was the one. So why would you be liable to have to pay from the other one? So on that, Rav Ashi answered, Hachamai Iskinon, what we're talking about here in the Mishnah is not as we had assumed. It's not talking about Shur Tam. It's talking about Bimu'adin, that the oxen that were owned by this one individual had already done it a few times. Where either way at the end he has to pay from what's called Me'aliyah, even from his bank account. It's not just collected from the ox itself. And therefore all his properties are liable for the payment. And that's why it says Shneim Chayavin. Because yes, either way, the guy's going to have to pay, and the collection is collected from his assets. So you could collect from either one of those oxen, because either way, we don't care which one it was that did it, he's going to have to pay from whatever assets he has. Now that the Gemara asks, Ibu Mu'adin Eima Seifa, if it's like you just answered, that the Mishnah's case was talking about that they were Shur Mu'adin, then look at the end of the Mishnah. Mishnah continues and says, Hayechad Gadol Ve'echad Katan. Let's say, okay, so he said, if it's owned by one person, so either way you look at it, he's going to have to pay. We don't know which one of your oxen, but it was one of yours, so you have to pay Chatzi Nezik. But let's say one of them was a big ox, and one of them was a small one. So Anizik Oimer Gadol Hezik. So the damage party says, he wants to be able to collect as much as possible. He said it was the big ox, which therefore the collection could be a lot from that ox. That's the one that damaged. Famazik Oimer, the damager, the one that owns the two oxen, he says, no. Kielu Katan Hezik, meaning no one really knows, but each one is claiming. He says, no, it was the smaller one that damaged. And says the Mishnah, as all the halachas were saying, Hamoitzim Mechaver, Olav Arai, the one that wants to remove the one that got damaged, the victim, he has to bring proof that it was the big one and not the small one. And until he does, the collection could only be from the small ox that was from the two that damaged and not the big one. And that asks the Gemara, Ibn Mu'adin, if the case that we're discussing in the Mishnah, which this case of Echa Gadol Ve'echa Katan is continuing on that case, is that the both oxen are Mu'adin, so my nafke lemine. What does it make a difference for the Nizik to want to say that the one that damaged him was the big one, not the small one? Save. At the end of the day, the may turub ma'alya by lishlume. If we're talking about Shur Mu'adin, first of all, the collection is not only from the body of the Shur HaMazik, and moreover, it's Nezik Shalom. You can collect from whatever you want. So who cares if it was a small ox, a big ox? doesn't make a difference in who the mazik was. It's in the damage that was done to his ox that was the victim. However much the damage is, he'll be able to collect. So what would it make a difference if you're saying it's too much shrem muadin? So Amalei, so Rav Ashi answered the question. He says, Seifa b'tamid, you're right. The next case of this case, the end of it, was Toma when they both were Tamin. V'reisha b'mo'adin. The beginning, that reisha, when it says Shneim Chayavin, which was it? You could collect from either one, which we asked if it's a Shur Tam. Maybe it was this one, not that one. Why could you collect from either one? That was b'mo'adin. The Seifa that was saying, the disagreeing which one was the mazik, was it the big one or the small one, which would only have halachic relevance if it's that you could collect only from the ox itself, was Toma Tamin. So on that, the Gemara asks, "Omli Rav Acha Saba le Rav Ashi." So now Rav Acha Saba, he asked Rav Ashi. He says, "Ibe mu'adin, if it is like you're saying regarding the first part of this case, when there was two oxen that both of them are mu'adin, and that's how you explain the terminology of shneim chayavin." So he has two questions, both on this wording of shneim chayavin. First of all, chayavim, when it says that they're liable, why is it that they're liable? Chayav gavra mi ba'ilei. It should say the person becomes liable. Because by a shur tam, it's appropriate to say that the liability is in the ox itself, because the collection is done from the body of the ox. But you're saying it's not a shur tam, it's a shur muad. That liability is taken by the owner, where all his assets are now can be collected from. So why I say chayavim? It should say chayav gavra. V'su moro b'maish neim. What does it mean that they're both liable? What does it have to do with them? The liability is not in the ox in itself. The liability is in the owner. So why shneim? So rather, the Gemara says, "Ela'olam b'tamid." So rather, it is, as we have to say from the Seifa of this case too, we're talking about that the Shvarim are tamid, they're not mu'adid. Now, so this that we said, that Shnehem, which was the question, we had thought to say, Shneim Chayavim, sounds like, oh, even though one of them did the damage, but from whichever one you want, you could collect. And that was the question. We said, why? Shur tam, the liability is only in the body of this animal. One of them gets lost. How could you collect from the other one? So on that, the Gemara is saying, no, that inference that we had made is actually teaching us the opposite type of a chiddush. It's only if both of them are in front of us that then the victim could collect. But actually, if one of them gets lost, then you cannot collect. Because Rebbe Akiva, it's going like Rebbe Akiva. The Amad that he says, Shutfin Ninu, he says that the Mazik and the Nizik become partners in the body of the Shur HaMazik itself. Now, therefore, if one of the oxen gets lost, then the victim has lost his ability to collect. Because the time of the Isnu Litarvayu, it's only when both oxen are around, that's when the Mazik is going to be liable. Why? Because he can't push away the Nizik in any single way, because the Nizik is going to say, look, one of these two gored my ox. And we know that. And they're both owned by you. So either way, you're going to have to give me the Chatzin Nizik. We don't know which one was the one, but you could decide which one you want to give me the Chatzin Nizik Megufa. But if both are not there and only one is left, that Matzi Amalei, now the Mazik can tell the Nizik, Zilai Siraya, you bring a proof, the high Tura Askuch Vashamloch, that it was this ox that gored you, and then I'll pay for you. Because now we don't know. Maybe me and you become partners. That means to say, your own, what you are owed, was in the share that was Mazik you. So if they're both around, so look, okay, either way you're telling me, I gotta go ahead and pay. But if one of them gets lost, then you're not going to be able to collect. That's why it says, Shnehem Chayavim, meaning to say when both of them are around, that's when there's going to be a liability of collecting from the Shur Tam, Migufay, because we are talking about Shur Tam, like Rebbe Akiva, which that liability is owed in the ox itself. Whereas, as Rashi explains, according to Rebbe Shmuel, since he says that the Nizik does not become a partial owner in the Shur HaMazik, rather becomes like a creditor, so then that's just money that the Mazik owes him through the medium of the body. But if one of them gets lost, he hasn't lost his rights. That's the negligence and the loss of the Mazik. Fine, of course I was supposed to collect from the body, but now you lost it, so you've got to pay me that what was owed to me, but not that he's actually a partner. If you're a partner like Rebbe Akiva, then that, if it gets lost, so now we don't know if that was the one that you have to go ahead and bring a proof that it wasn't yours, that was the Mazik that got lost. And until you could, that's why the Mishnah says Shneim Chayavin is only if both of them are around, and then there's going to be a liability. Hanulach HaManeach, we shall return to you the third parak of Masechtas Baba Kama, parak HaManeach. And with that, we begin the fourth parak of Masechtas Baba Kama, what's called Shur Shenogach Dal Vehei, or Shur Shenogach Arba V'Chamisha, which continues along this theme as the first two words of this parak open up, this parak about Shur Shenogach, about an ox that gores. which is the mazik of Karen. So the Mishnah begins, Shor shenagach, an ox that gores, arba v'chamisha shvarim ze'achar ze'ah. Four or five oxen, one after another. Now, as Rashi explains, the case that we're discussing here is that regarding all these victims, the mazik was a tam, which could only be collected from the body of the shor hamazik. Now, how can you have that? Don't you become a mu'ud after three times? So the case would be talking about, for example, of let's say the ox saw another ox and gored, then it saw an ox and didn't gore, then it saw an ox and gored, and then after two or three times seeing oxen, it didn't gore. Which the chiddush in that is that although as we'll see later on in the next daf, there's a concept called mu'ud l'sirugin, which is every other one that becomes a mu'ud. Let's say it sees an ox, gores, ox doesn't gore. Ox gores, doesn't gore. Gores, doesn't gore. Gore, doesn't gore. Then it actually becomes a mu'ud for every other time. Here in the case that Rashi just described, you're not becoming a shor hamu'ud, not even for in order, because it didn't go three in a row, and neither not even sirugin, because it didn't even do every other one. It saw once, yes, two times not, yes, once, three times. It didn't have a specific order to follow to create a mu'ud. So therefore, these four or five victim oxen were all by this shur that was all along a shur tam. So what's the halacha? Because obviously, if it made four or five oxen victims, it has to pay for the nezik. Now, they could only be collected from the body of the shur hamazik. The shur hamazik is not worth that much. So the halacha says the tanakam is yishalim. So the first one to be paid the chatzi nezik, which is the halacha of shur tam, is la'achrin shabahem, is the last one that was the last victim, whether number five or number four. As the Gemara will explain, who is this Tana, who is it going like, that will hold that it's going to be the last one. Although the first one that was owed money, liability, still the Tana Kama says that it's the last one that's going to collect this Chatzin Nezek. Now, continues the Mishnah, V'im yesh b'im ma'isa, now if there's leftover money, which is to say that you could only collect Chatzin Nezek, megufay, so if there's, let's say the last guy who was damaged, let's say the mazik is worth 200, and the one that was damaged was a damage of 100, so then the chatzin nezik is 50, so then you have 150 left over in the body of the shor hamazik, so then yachzer l'shelafanav, so then you go back, the one that was damaged right before him, he collects all his chatzin nezik, and then the earlier ones lose out if there's not enough left over. Now, v'im yesh b'im ma'isa, now if there is still leftover monies that are still in the value of the shor hamazik, which was already paid to the fifth guy and to the fourth guy, then you go back to the guy before that. As the Tanakhama sums it up, the last ones to be damaged are the ones that gain. That's the Remeir, that's the opinion of Remeir. It's actually the last ones that get paid first, and then if there's still more left in the body, again, you sell the Shor HaMazik, and whatever the value is, you pay up the Chatzin Nezek, the last guy. If there's still more left over, you go to the guy before. Still left over, before, going back all the way to the first Nizik. Reb Shimon Eimer, he says that actually they're partners in the Nezek, in the damages that happen. How so? So he explains, Shor Shava Masayim says, if you have an ox worth 200, Shenogach L'Shor Shava Masayim, that gored another ox worth 200. And the case is talking about that the dead animal that was gored is not worth anything. So it doesn't even get taken into the picture to figure out how much is going to be the chatzin nezik. So the halacha is, because, as we'll explain, that Reb Shimon is going like the opinion of Rebbe Kiva, which says that they become partners in the shahar mazik, which is that he's owed the chatzin nezik of 200, which is 100, and the mazik is worth 200, so he takes 100, and that leaves 100 for the mazik. Now, chazem anogach shor achar shavim asayim. Now, if this ox goes now again, and it gores, and that's obviously before they sell it and they do whatever they have to do, it goes and gores another ox worth 200, victim number two. So, ha'achar noitl mana, the last guy takes 100. Now, v'shalafanav, and the victim number one that's before, so zeh, the first nizik, he's noitel chamishim zuz. He takes 50 zuz. Vizeh, and the owner, he takes noitel chamishim zuz. He also takes half of that other 100, which is 50 zuz. Now, the reason for this is that the first nizik, he has a half of ownership in this shor hamazik. Therefore, you have two owners that owned it, essentially, which we're going according to the opinion of Rebbe Kiva that says that And that's how Reb Shimon is learning that they're partners. So you have, although up until now, by victim number one, you had one owner. Now, after victim number one, the victim and the mazik become owners. So now he owes 100, owns 100, and he owns 100. Now when it's mazik, that's victim number two. So he gets his chazi nezik from these two partners, which is 100 out of his 200 dad's damage. And now the partners split what's left, which are each 50 zuz. Now, continues the Mishnah, let's say chazav and nagach shor achar shav mesayim. Let's say it gores a third time. It gores an ox worth 200. So again, ha'achar noitel mana, the last guy takes 100, which is half from whatever it is, in other words, from the animal itself, because he collects migufay. Now, what that comes out is that v'shalafonav chamishim zuz, victim number two now gets 50, which was half of what he had, which was 100, because he has to pay half, because there's three owners now. Him, the first victim, victim number two meaning victim number one, and the owner. And now his partnership was 50% of the partnership because he had a mana. The first two guys only had 25% partnerships. So he has to pay half of his ownership, which was 100. Now, therefore, he pays half of that, which is 50. And so v'shalafonav chamishim zuz. So therefore, that's why he ends up with 50 zuz. V'shnayim rishayim. Now, the first two guys, meaning the first nizik and the owner, who each one had a quarter shear, now they each pay a quarter of the damage. So therefore, v'shnayim harishayim, the first two, dinar zahav, they end up with a golden dinar, which is 25 silver dinarim, which is 25, 50, and 100. That's how it gets divided and subdivided, because they all then become partners in the ox. And when it gores again, they all are liable proportionately to their share in the shor hamazik. So that's machlokes Reb Meir and Reb Shimon. Now the Gemara explains the halacha. Says the Gemara, Masnit Mani, who's the town of our Mishnah? And by that, we mean opening up the first opinion, that of the Tanakhama, that of Reb Meir. So says the Gemara, the like Reb Shmuel, or the like Reb Akiva. Seemingly, it's not like Reb Shmuel or like Reb Akiva, which was the machlekes that we were just referring to, which was mentioned in the previous stuff. As the Gemara explains, Ikre Bishmol, if it be going like Bishmol, the Amar Balei Chayvis Ninu, he says that the Nizik, the victim, just becomes a creditor. Yes, the collection could only be from the body of the Shor HaMazik, but it's not like you become a partner. It's a creditor, it's owed to the Nizik. Now, then the difficulty becomes, Hai Acher and Acher Niske, then why would Reb Meir, if we're going like Bishmol, say the last guy is the one to gain, Rishon Rishon Niske Mi Bayle. Actually, the first guy to get damage should be the one that should be the one to gain, and the last ones to get damage are the ones that should lose. Because the first guy does not become a partner that he should be responsible to make sure it doesn't damage. Rather, he's the first creditor that's standing in line, and therefore, he should get paid. The guy later, okay, you have to come after me. I was the first get owed by this mazik. Now, as Rashi points out, although we did say on the earlier daf on the Flamme Gimel Mabez that there is a concept of if a creditor was owed money before the nizik, the later nizik collects before the creditor, that's only because the nizik could tell the creditor, that was the contrast between a victim and a creditor, where he could say, I could only collect from the Shor HaMazik, which is the Halacha of a Nizik, but the creditor can't say that because he could collect from all the other assets. That's why we make him go ahead and collect from other things and not from the Shor HaMazik. But here, both the first Nizik and the second Nizik and the third Nizik, they all could only collect from the body of the animal. So therefore, what one is going to take is going to cause a loss from the other one. So therefore, it's the first ones, first come, first serve. First one damage is the first one to collect. They're owed first. So therefore, if it's going like Rabbi Shmuel, then why would it say the last one should gain? It should be the first one should gain. And says the Gemara, Ik Rabbi Kiva, and if our Mishnah is going like Rabbi Kiva, the Amar Tur de Shutfi, who he says that actually all the Nizakin become partners in the damage, meaning in the ownership of the Mazik. So then the difficulty is, according to that, so then how do we understand Hayesh by Meiser? It said, according to Reb Meir, according to Tanakama, that if there is more money left over after the last guy goes and collects, that part wouldn't be difficult, according to Rebbe Kiva. That is because, yeah, of course the last guy is going to collect because there's a liability for all the earlier guys. So that would work out. According to Bishmol, that's part of the halacha doesn't work out. But according to Rebbe Kiva, although that works out, but the other next part of the halacha is difficult. Because it says that, yesh b'maysir, if there's money left over after the last guy collected, so then as we continue to medbeis, yachsel lishlefonav. So then the guy right before him, let's say it was victim number five, that he was the last guy, he collects all his chatzin nezik. So he said, if there's more money left over in the Shahar Mazik, then victim number four, he collects all his Chatzi Nezik, and all the earlier guys, they lose out in total. They don't get anything. And that the difficulty is, according to Rabbi Kiva, that it should be Yachzer Likulam, that they should return money to all the previous ones. In other words, proportionally, as we actually explained that concept according to Rabbi Shimon, who we explained is going to Rabbi Kiva. Mibayle, that's what should it say. It, because they're all partners. Yes, they're all partners. And the last guy, the victim, he's owed by all the partners, so he gets his Chatzi Nezek. But then all the remaining ones, they then split it proportionally, whatever portion that they have. Why, if there's money left over, do we say that it's the guy before him who's the victim gets it and not all the previous ones? So seemingly, the Tanakhama of a Mishnah and Meir is not like Rabbi Shmuel and not like Rabbi Kiva. So that Amar Rabbi says, no, lo'ilim k'Rabbi Shmuel. We could say that our Mishnah is going like Rabbi Shmuel. The Amar Bali Chavis Nenuhu, he says that they become creditors. They're not shutfen. Now, with the Kashlach, we said, but according to Rabbi Shmuel, Acharin Nisker, he said, how do we understand that? Rabbi Meir is saying that it's the last guy who gains, Rishon Nisker Mibayle, should be the first guy that becomes a victim, who he's owed money. He's the first one in the line. He's the first one that should gain. Why the last ones? And that says, Rav, what we're talking about over here in our Mishnah is, the case is describing where the damaged party, he knows he could only collect from the Shertam, from the Gufay itself. So he goes and he grabs the animal to collect from it. Now, so too, as the story unfolds, it doesn't happen just once and twice, it keeps on going two and three and four times, each Nizik ends up grabbing it from the one before him. Now, v'naso lov k'shem resochel in the zakat. Now, therefore, since when the Nizik grabs it, he takes it to collect from it, essentially he becomes, now it's like his, at least he wants to hold on to it until he could use it to collect from the courts, but now that he's grabbing it, he's like in halacha, like a shemer sachar, where he's watching it for the purposes of gain that he could collect from it, which is what a watchman becomes, that he becomes an agent in liability, and therefore, if it ends up damaging, that becomes his responsibility. Now, that's why the case always becomes the last one gains, because essentially, the first victim, when he grabs it to hold on to it, he's the shemer sachar. Now, when it damages someone else, that guy collects, because he's the victim, and he collects from the guy before him, because he lost all that rights now, because the responsibility is on him, and so on and so on, and therefore it's the last one, that he's finally the one that collects. Now, on that, the Gemara asks, Ihachi, if that's the case, yes, we thought it would be the first ones to gain. We say no, because they grab it, and therefore the responsibility is on them, and each one then loses it to the next one in that sequence. But then, yesh be ma'isa yachzer l'shelafanav. How do we understand then the next part of the halacha? We said that if there is money left over from the last guy collecting, it goes to the guy before him. On that, the question is, yachzer l'bayla mibayla. Actually, it should go back to the original owners if there's leftover money. In other words, because the owner shouldn't lose out that one money that he had from the time of the first guy who was damaged. In other words, we said the case with Toma, an ox worth 200, Gordon ox worth 200, the victim was totally wiped out, not worth anything. So he said the first victim, together with the mazik, they split the 200 worth mazik, because he has to collect chatzi nezik, which is 100 out of his 200 that his ox was done. So he gets 100, he gets 100. Now, the way we describe the case, if you're saying it's going like a Rishmal, is that what the first nezik did, he grabbed the sharha mazik. Now, so he said, so now when the damage is again, the liability is on him, so then it's actually the next guy who then gains, because it's his fault. And then going on and on and on. Now the problem is, let's say there's up to victim number five, when there's leftover money that from the Shahar Mazik, we say that, oh, okay, so let's say victim number five, his ox was worth 200, and the Chatzi Nezik is 100. So the Shahar Mazik is worth 200. So you say, oh, the last guy gets his 100, so there's 100 left. So it's the guy before him who gets it. And that the Gemara's question is that why? That 100 was never the responsibility, and neither should it cause a loss to the original owner. Rather, it was on the first nizik. And that is when the damage to the second guy, essentially the first nizik lost his 100, which was then collected by the second guy, who then he became the shamer, and then lost it to the third guy, and so on and so forth, where each one were shamer sachers for the whole animal. They were watching it because they grabbed it, which was responsible for the owner's portion too, which is not his responsibility, wasn't his negligence. And therefore, the question is, why are we saying that if, let's say, out of the 200 of the Shahar Mazik, the last victim, number five, the Nizik, collects 100, now there's 100 left over, goes to the Nizik before him. Why? each Nizik essentially lost his 100, he lost his 100 to him, he lost his 100 to him. Each one ends up grabbing 100, then becoming responsible for the next one. The 100 that's remaining was never the negligence of the Baal, because once the first Nizik took it, and then to the second, and so on and so forth, it was their responsibility, not him. So Amar Ravina, Ravina says, you're right. Hachi Kitani, and therefore this is the way you should learn the Mishnah. Im yesh bei meisa b'nizakov, if there is left over from the damaging, then yachzer l'shlofanav. Then you'll give it to the guy before. And what does that mean? You're right. From the 200 of the Shor HaMazik, the 100 of the owner, that the first time it damaged was his responsibility, and therefore he loses 100. But from then on, he doesn't lose his 100. His 100 is the responsibility of whoever is the Shomer Sachar at that time. And he'll get his 100. The case we're describing is for, let's say, for example, the damage of the fourth victim was more than the damage of the fifth victim. So, for example, let's say the Shor of the fourth guy was worth 100. Now, therefore, the Mazik owes him half a mana. Now, the fifth, his one was worth 50. And therefore, the Chatzin Nezik is only a Dinar Zav, which is a 25. So therefore, there's still an extra Dinar Zav that goes back to the one before, and so to all of them. We're saying that if there's still left over, you go back to the one before, and to the one before, and one before, is if the damages of the earlier ones were more than the ones of the later ones. But of course, that original mana, that 100 is off bounds. That's going to be automatically going to the Baal. So that 100 is kept for him, and each Shomer Sachar becomes responsible for it. What we're saying is, if let's say in that 100 that each one was grabbing for himself, then let's say the Nizik after him was less than that, let's say it was 75, and then the one afterwards was 50, and the other one was 25, meaning their Chatzin Nizik was less, then there's going to be leftovers in that mana, which that is from the original responsibility and liability of the original owners, that could be collected from the guy before and the guy before and the guy before. But you're right, that one mana, since we're describing the case that each one grabs it, is going to be kept for the owner because that's not his responsibility. That was automatically his and taken in responsibility by each consecutive Shomer Sachar, as we described. That's what they are because they're gaining to be able to collect from the Shor, and that's why they grabbed it. Now the Gemara says, V'chein ki asa Ravin, Amar Rabbi Yechanan, so when Ravin came, he said, in the name of Yechanan, like Rav had answered, that Mishum Pshias Shomer Naguba, that the way we explain the halacha of our Mishnah, why is it that we say that Ha'achar and Achar Nisker, if we're going like Rabbi Shmuel, seemingly it should be Rishon Rishon Nisker because you're just a creditor, you're not a partner, is because of negligence of a watchman. That's how he explained the halacha of the Mishnah, the same idea, which is because since each one grabbed it from the guy before him, each one became responsible for what the next guy's damage was, and therefore it could be like Rabbi Shmuel, and therefore it doesn't have to be like neither one of those two opinions of Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Kiva. Now, however, the Gemara continues to ask on this interpretation. B'mayo kimta. So how are you explaining the halacha of our Mishnah? K'Rabbi Shmuel, like Rabbi Shmuel. That, the Gemara says, now that works very well in your explanation of Rabbi Meir in our Mishnah. But ihi hachi eim esefa. But look at the end of the Mishnah. Rabbi Shimon said, he explained as follows. He says, Shor shav masayim shenugach shor shav masayim. You have an ox worth 200, the Gordon ox worth 200. The ein hanavel yafa klum. Now the dead animal is not worth anything. So the halacha is, so his 200 was his loss. He gets chatzin nezik, which is 100. Sizen neitel mana, vizen neitel mana. So the nezik takes 100, and the original owner takes 100. Chazav nagach shav achar shav mesayim. Now let's say he goes and gores a second victim. That's also worth 200. So ha'achar neitel mana, the last guy takes 100, which is his chatzin nezik. V'shalafanav, and the people before him, zen neitel chamishim zuz, vizen neitel chamishim zuz. The first nezik takes 50 zuz, and the original owner takes 50 zuz. Chazav nagach shor shav mesayim. Let's say it goes a third time. Another ox worth 200, and it's not worth anything. Ha'achar neitel mana. Again, the last guy takes the mana. V'shalafanav neitel chamishim zuz. Now the guy before him takes 50. V'shneim harishayim. Now the original two, meaning the owner and the first maz and the first nizik, they take a dinner of a golden dinner again, which is 25. Again, as we explained in the Mishnah, proportionately for what the liability is responsible on the earlier people, which the Gemara says Ason Rabbi Kiva. That's coming like Rabbi Kiva, the Amatur de Shutfehu, that says that the ox become owners by the Nizakin, the ones who get damaged, become consecutive owners in that. And therefore, each one becomes responsible proportionally regarding the ownership that they have in the Shor HaMazik. So that the Gemara asks, Reish Rabbi Shmuel, the Sefer Rabbi Akiva. How can you say in the explanation of Rabbi Meir, which is the Reish of the Mishnah, like Rabbi Shmuel, but then that comes out that the Sefer of the Mishnah is like Rabbi Akiva because that's who Rabbi Shimon is seemingly going, like they're partners. And generally, when we have a Mishnah, we don't like saying that it's like two different Tanoim. So that the Gemara says, Amri, in, they said yes. The Ha'amalei Shmuel Rabbi Huda, and we find that there was a precedent like this where Shmuel said to Rabbi Huda, Shinana, sharp one, as Shmuel many times would mention to his student Rabbi Huda, he called him sharp one, Shavaik Masnitin. He says, leave alone this Mishnah. In other words, don't exert yourself to try to explain this, both opinions of the Machlekes or Meir Rabbi Shimon and our Mishnah according to one opinion. Rather, B'saw Basroi, come after me, which I explain, Reisha Bishmol, B'sefer B'kiva. They're going like different opinions. The Reisha Meir is going like Rabbi Shmuel, as we explained, which is that there's only like a creditor, but the last one's gained because each one goes and grabs, and that's why you return that half of the money if there's leftover to the one before him. Whereas the Sefer, meaning Rabbi Shimon, is going like Rabbi Akiva, holds that they're partners, and therefore the last one will gain, but again, each one then before that will get proportionately according to what was his ownership in the ox at that point in time. It Manami, Gemara says, so too, it was learned that Amr B'Yechanan says, Hekdeshle Nizik Ikevenayu, the difference between Reb Shimon and Reb Meir is this Machlikas, Reb Akiva and Reb Shmuel, which is that if the Nizik goes ahead and is Makdashit, which we explained in the previous daf, is the difference between Reb Akiva and Reb Shmuel. In other words, is the Nizik an actual owner, and therefore if he's Makdashit, is he going to be Kaidish, or is he just a creditor, and therefore he can't actually go ahead and be Makdashit? Now Rashi points out that why couldn't the Gemara have said that it is like one Tana? Both Reb Shimon, as we just explained, and even Reb Meir would be going like Reb Akiva. Now, the case would be talking about, as we explained, where the Nizik goes out and grabs it away. And so then the question would be, why did we say that Reb Meir is not like Reb Akiva? It's because we said, according to Reb Akiva, why does it say Yachzer L'Shalofana? Why does it go to the guy before him? It should go proportionally, as Reb Shimon had described it to all of them before that. On that, asked Rashi, but we could answer, as we explained, that it's Meisa ben Nizakin, meaning regarding the leftover of the damages, regarding that, that will go to the one before. But essentially, the halacha could be like Reb Akiva too. So that Rashi says, no, you can't say like Reb Meir would be like Reb Akiva. Because if he says like Reb Shmuel, so it makes sense, as we had explained, that for one of the dinim, that it says Acher and Acher Niska, the last guy gains, that is a chiddush, as we explained in Rabbi Shmuel's opinion, that since the Nizik grabbed it away, so it becomes like a Shemis Sachar, and therefore becomes like in his domain. And although it wasn't yet evaluated, the ox in court, but still, that's how Rabbi Shmuel would be explaining, which is a chiddush in his opinion, that the last guy is the one that gains. But according to Rabbi Akiva, why would I have to say this halacha at all of the last guy gaining, even without the grabbing, the last guy would gain? Because that's how Rabbi Akiva understands that each one becomes now a partner and the owner, and the owners are responsible for the liability of the last victim. Why would I have to say Acher Nachar Nisker? That would only be a chiddush inherent in the opinion of Rabbi Shmuel, and that's why the Gemara concluded that yes, you have to say that the machlekes Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Akiva is the machlekes in our Mishnah of Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Shimon. Now the Gemara continues with a topic that will come in relevance to the halacha of our Mishnah. It's not awesome. We learned over there a Mishnah later on, the Tzadi Min Aleph, that says as follows, Hatekeya, either it means to say someone that bangs opposite someone's ear, or it means actually he blows a loud noise, L'chaver, to his friend. So Nisen Leisela, so he has to give him for one of the five types of damages when the person damages his friend, is Busha, is humiliation, is embarrassment. So just for the Busha, for the humiliation of doing something harmful to one's friend, you have to give a Sela, which, as Rashi points out, regarding tsar, if there was pain or damage or doctor bills, if there is, then you have to pay accordingly. But regarding the busha, Chacham say it's going to be a sela. He says it's going to be a mana. Now, the Gemara brings a story. Who gavra de taka lechavri? There was a certain person that blew, that banged by his friend, which, as Rashi points out, it must be told by that the nizig grabbed on his own something from the mazik, because if not, it's irrelevant, because bush is one of the things that's called knas, which is not it's something that is not collected in bubble, and therefore would have to be that it's only if it's toughest, which we say has halachic relevance in bubble. Once the guy grabbed, then we let him keep the collection of that. So the nizig went and grabbed. So the question was sent, Sholchi Rav Tovia Bar Masna Lekamed Rav Yosef, he said, this that it said in this mission that we just quoted, that the busha of someone that banged someone else is going to be a Sela. Sela Tsoiritznan, is that the tire, which was that there was a Sela is a amount of currency. But there were two different types of currency. There was the more expensive, more noble type of currency, which was from Tyre, which that Sela is worth 4 zuzim. A Sela Medinitznan, or is it the provincial, the common type of a Sela, which is actually an eighth of the Sela Tsuri, which actually comes out to be only a half a dinar. Now, as Rashi points out, wherever it says this terminology of Kesa Medina, whether it's talking about a Sela or a Shekel, a half a Sela, it's going to be an eighth of the Tsuri. So the question was asked, this is what the Mishnah said, and they had to know the halacha regarding this guy's busher that he grabbed and he wanted to collect the amount that the other guy had embarrassed him. What is he allowed to collect? Is he allowed to collect 4 zuzim, which is the Sela Tsuri, or just a half a dinner, which is the Sela Medina, only 1/8 of that? So Amalei, so Rabbi Yosef responded, he says, Tinesua, we learned it in our Mishnah. The Mishnah said, Mishnaim harishayim, and the first two we spoke about, that this halacha, that each one becomes a partner, and then the amounts get less and less and less. The last guy gets the most, and it goes backwards. So we said, Vishnaim Rishayim, and the first two, meaning the Baal and the first Nizik, they only end up with a dinner zav, a golden dinner, which is 25, which is of silver. So that said, Rabbi Yosef, he'll prove from this halacha, Visa Gadai Tani Tana Sela Medina, if you would entertain to say that when the Tana in the Mishnah, which we want to prove from our Mishnah regarding that Mishnah on Daf Tzadi, will say a term of Sela, will mean a Sela Medina, well then, if that would be the case, meaning in other words, he's proving that it must be Sela Tzairi, because if it were Sela Medina, then Niflig, then let the Tana of our Mishnah then differentiate and still Venisti and say in our Mishnah another extension, another case. It should have said, Chazer v'nagach, that it, let's say, gores another time to another ox worth 200. You could have said the case would have been even longer. You would have said the last guy takes a mana, the guy before would take 50 zuz, the guy before would take a dinar zav, and the first two, the owner and the first nizik, they would take atresa vesela, meaning the case would extend up until them taking 12 dinarim and a sela, which sela? A sela medina, which is a half a dinar, because that's what it would come out to 12 and a half dinar. And you would be able to say it as 12 dinarim and a sela. Now, why didn't it say that case? Why did the last case it say is only the previous phase, meaning they're getting a dinar zav? Must be, says Rabbi Yosef, because the Tana of our Mishnayis doesn't say and doesn't talk about a sela medina. And that's why it doesn't differentiate and make the case a little bit longer by goring another ox. And now, moreover, as Rashi says, then why couldn't it just say 12 and a half dinarim? Is because the Tana doesn't want to talk about halves. So if it didn't want to talk about halves, but you could say a Sela, but that Sela would have to be a Sela Medina, which is a half a dinar, from the fact that he didn't say 12 dinarim and a Sela, which would be half of the dinar zav, which is 25, must be because we don't talk about Sela Medina. And that proves that the later Mishnah by Busha is talking about a Sela Tzairi, because it doesn't talk about Sela Medina. That on Malay, on that they said to Rabbi Yosef, no, what's the proof? Tana ki ruchla lisni velezli, what do you think? Our Tana of a Mishnah is like a peddler who has to continue and continue and continue and go on and on and on? What do you mean? Of course, he could have gone further. Could be we do discuss Sela Medina, and maybe the halacha there of Busha is only a Sela Medina. But the fact that it didn't say another ox is because, what, he has to go on and on? He already proved his point of a halacha regarding this concept of the last guy gaining and the previous ones proportionately, and therefore there's no proof. So the Gemara says, so my have Allah. So we introduced this because we thought it would be a proof from our Mishnah, but the Gemara says, so what is the maskana? When it discusses that halach over there, is it Sela Medina or Sela Tzairi? So the Gemara says, Pashtu Mahadu Amr Yehuda Marav. They resolve this question from the halachic statement of Yehuda Marav. He says, Kol Kesava Amaba Tayra. Whenever the Tayra mentions silver, money, Kesav Tzuri. It's referring to Kesav Tzuri, which is that the Sela is 4 dinar, and the dinner is weighed in gold, which, as Rashi says, 2.5 times the weight of metal. Not Mishal Devrayim, but regarding rabbinic law, like our halacha in this Mishnah Dav Tzadi, which although the halacha of Busha is a biblical law, but the shear, the measurement of giving a set amount of being Tekei L'chaver, being a Sela, is rabbinic law, that's going to be Kesav Medina, that's always Kesav Medina, which is only 1/8 of the Kesav Tzari, so that the Gemara resolves, which, not like we had thought to prove from our Mishnah, we thought we would prove Kesef Tzairi, which we said is not a proof. We end up saying that it's actually Kesef Medina. Now, so the story continues. So once it was proved that the guy could only collect 1/8 of what he thought he could collect, maybe he thought he'll get a sela tzairi, which is 8 times that amount, is 4 zuzim. He now found out he could only collect a half a dinar. That's what the sela is, sela medina. So amalei hu gamar. So that guy, the nizik, said, look, hayilu palga de zuzuhu. Since all I'm collecting at the end of the day that this guy owes me is a half a zuz and not more, since it's embarrassing for me to collect a half a zuz, lebeina, I don't want it. Nesu v'lanim, let him give him to the poor people. Now, however, hada amalei, but at the end he changed his mind. He said, you know what? Nesu v'nahali, you know, I'll take the half a dinner. Ezel v'ivri bein nafshay, I'll go ahead and I'll sustain myself. I'll go ahead and I'll eat a healthy meal. I'll do something that will, I'll recover from the shock that this guy had done to me. However, amalei Rabbi Yisrael said to him, to the nizik, sorry, kvar zachu b'hu anim, the pauper is already merited in that half a dinner that you refused to originally take. Because you said, give it to the poor. Now, va'avagav deleka anim hachi, although there's no poor people here, anan yaranim anan, we are the hands, we are the representatives, we're the agents of the poor people, as Rashi brings, which the Gemara later on, Tav Tzadigim Laman Aleph, says, Rabbi Yisrael was the gabai of tzedakah, of the poor people, and he had already taken possession when the nizik said, give it to the poor people. The Amr Rabbi Yehuda Meshmul, like Rabbi Yehuda says, name of Shmuel. Yisaimim, orphans, as we continue top of Lamed Zayin Aleph, Alf, in the Tzrichim Prusbel, they don't need the halachic medium of Prusbel, which is because generally, if not writing a Prusbel, so the seventh year of Shemitah cancels the debts by unless you write a Prusbel, but orphans don't have to because the courts are the agents of the orphans, and it's incumbent upon them to find ways of rights and merits for the orphans. So therefore, their documents are like automatically considered default as if they're given over to the courts. And that halacha is taught, which is actually the primary concept of what a principle is, that if someone gives over his documents to the courts, then the seventh year of Shemitah is not Meshamet, it doesn't cancel and void the debts that are owed to him, because that's actually the principle itself is what it is. It says, Moisrani lechem pleni pleni leon, I give you over the rights of my documents to you, the courts, as the Gemara explains in Masechtas Gittin. So therefore, orphans don't have to because it's automatic that the courts have the rights. So too over here, where he says, we represent the poor people, and therefore I already took rights for them, and therefore you can't go ahead and take it back. Chaitani Rami Bar Chama, he also teaches this idea, Hayisayim Ein Tzrichim Prusbel, that orphans don't need Prusbel, because Rabbi Gamliel, Ubeis Dinei Avin Shal Yisayim Hayu, Rabbi Gamliel and his courts, they're the fathers of the orphans, and the reason why he picks Rabbi Gamliel is because he was a Nasi, and his court was a respectable court. They take the rights, and therefore it's like considered automatic. Whatever needs they need is like the courts already did it for them. Now the Gemara concludes with another story related to this halacha about being tekeh l'chaver, being chai for half a dinner, which is a sela medina. Chanan Bisha, the wicked, the evil Chanan, takaleh lahu gavra, he again either blew or banged the ear of a certain individual. So asla kamei Rav Huna, came in front of Rav Huna saying, look what he did to me. So Amalei Rav Huna said to Chanan Bisha, he said, Zil havle palga de zuza. As we said, it's a sela medina. You have to give him a half a zuz. Now, havle zuza macha. However, this Chanan Bisha had a worn out, that the image, the graven image was already worn out on his zuz. Now, boy lemesvele minei palga de zuza. He wanted to give half of that zuz in payment to the guy who he had damaged. But the problem is, lahav mishtakale, he wasn't able to change it in by anybody to get half of the zuz changed in because no one wanted to take it. It was already worn out zuz. So what he did was, tokale achrin, they banged him another time. Vihavanele. And then he gave him the full zuz. He says, okay, now I'll just slap you again and because I owed you half and I can't even give you this cheap zuz I wanted to get rid of because no one wants to take it to give me half. So what he did was, he banged him another time and now there was two half of zuz that he owed him and they gave him that one worn out zuz.